Hello and welcome to another episode of Pursuing the Intentional Life. I am Susan C. and I am here with my good friend Jolene Underwood. And we are so excited to be together again for another conversation. But this time we want to just take some time to introduce ourselves to you, tell you a little bit about who we are and the heart behind our time together as we record this. You see, Jolene and I have been friends for years, and we always seem to connect and have such deep conversations. We seem to be in the same season of life or experiencing the same insights or connections around the same time every time we get together. And we've never been the kind of friends that are on the phone daily or that we talk regularly, but when we see each other, it's always a heart-to-heart connection with deep, rich conversation. And we just decided to come together in a very imperfect way, just two friends talking and recording the conversation about how we can pursue the intentional life. Because that's what it all comes down to. We both have different hearts and interests, which you're going to learn more about today. But the root of it, the connection that we deeply share, is that we both desire to live our lives with deep intention, true to our purpose, true to living out the call we feel like God has for us. And so we're just inviting you to be a part of a girlfriend conversation around that. So we hope that you're somewhere comfy, or maybe you're out going for a walk as you listen to this. But wherever you are, just know that this is two girlfriends having a great conversation. And we want you to take what we're saying and also be thinking about how you want to live more intentionally. So Jolene, I would love to bring you in and have you just introduce yourself and tell those who are listening to us a little bit more about you.
Okay, great introduction, Susan. You're absolutely right. We've had these just amazing conversations, and we kept saying we wanted to record them, and a lot of times just because we wanted to hear what each other said, and oh yeah, it was like the Spirit just showed up and shared some inspiration and encouragement and challenges. So I super appreciate my friendship with you, and a little bit about me. I am a woman in my 40s who has lived through a lot of different things in life. I have been a single mom. I have experienced date rape situations, which I talk about in my blog, and other challenges where I really struggled to see beyond the darkness of what's going on around me. And after a season of serving where we fostered, we had 13 foster children in a period of 14 months, and we actually moved to a ranch to do it that was owned by a foster agency. And it was very intense, and I came back and really needed time to heal in many ways. And over the last few years in this healing process, I've seen the pattern throughout my entire life of the different challenges that I faced and trying to see the goodness of God beyond that, and learning what God wants me to learn and how to grow, while also learning boundaries and all sorts of other things, which has really tied into my passion and desire to write and to share and to speak with others about the power of God and the goodness of God and pursuing hope and faith. So today, my blog is joleneunderwood.com. It's J-O-L-E-N-E. And my blog writing is about pursuing hope and faith beyond today, because we all have circumstances that are challenging in life, sometimes more than others. And we need to know that the hope of Christ is for our future, and it's for today. And what God may be speaking to us and showing us and revealing in our hearts is so powerful for us to be able to live freed in Christ. And so that's my heart on the blog writing, sharing just personal challenges and kind of how I walk through. Well, for example, right now I'm talking a lot about surrender and learning bravery and how I've had a false understanding of surrender in the past, which put me in a place of being wounded, but needing to really be brave in the strength that Christ had already given me. So,
and you really have a heart to bring together those who feel called to write as well. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I see the spirit moving through so many people to share their words online. And I also see the enemy tearing people down because others maybe disagree with them or argue with them, or because the person who's writing struggles with whether or not their message is important, whether or not they should send their message out there, comparison comes in. And so I started a group. I felt like God had called me. I was sitting actually in a period of just really struggling myself in a lot of ways. And I heard encourage authors. And I just stopped what I was doing, stopped what I was writing. And I literally in my mind talked back to God, which, you know, can be helpful sometimes because you're trying to ask him what's going on. And I said, I don't know any authors. I don't know what you're talking about. And right after that, it was just like the doors opened up for me to meet authors, mm-hmm. current authors, people who've written many books, people who are about to write books, or people who write screenplays and fiction stories and music and spoken word. And I realized that really what I was hearing was to encourage those who use words for the kingdom of God.
Oh, look at that.
I just did not see the encouragement out there because mm-hmm. there's so much isolation. Usually these people are the ones who are sharing encouragement for others.
Right.
But the process itself can be very isolating, and you need to be receiving as well. And so I just felt like this was a huge call, and I didn't know what to do with it. And God just said, start a newsletter. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll start a newsletter. So I put the call out there on Facebook, and I very quickly had people signing up for it. And even though I was in the midst of struggling and wrestling through things, and I was struggling with clarity of where I was really headed with this, but I had a lot of ideas. What the newsletter has come to be is really a spirit-led newsletter every two mm-hmm. weeks. And mm-hmm. then a community on Facebook. And that's where it's at now. I have lots of ideas that are more practical, that are much more clear, that I believe God will bring about to fruition later. Mm-hmm. But right now, this is just a place to inspire and encourage people who want to share the word. And it's inspiration for their heart and their spiritual mm-hmm. journey, as well as their writing journey.
Well, I love, you know, I already love what you do. And I think it's amazing. And as I was listening to you, you know, for me, you feel really called to minister to those who are Christians and involved with the church. And there's a real connection for you in that. Mm-hmm. And I, too, am a Christian, but I don't feel necessarily called to just mm-hmm. the church, but mm-hmm. really those who feel connected to God, those who are believers in him, believers in Christ, mm-hmm. yet maybe don't feel totally connected to the church. So when you said something that really stood out to me that I want to clarify, you know, you were saying God said newsletter, God said these things. And maybe there's someone listening who says, okay, I don't feel like I hear God speak to me. I'm not sure that I can relate to that mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. I want to say maybe there's something within you that is compelling you forward. Maybe there's a curiosity you have about what would it be like to write a newsletter, or what would it be like to just start writing my poetry and sharing it with others? What would it be like to get started? Like, even if you don't have a full connection to what Jolene yeah. is saying about hearing God's voice, that's her experience in relationship with God. But I believe that you can still find that there's places in you where you're curious or interested or feeling compelled to move forward. And I want to say, even in those steps, connect with Jolene if you feel a connection to writing, whether it's books, whether it's collections of poetry or thoughts, whether it's spoken word. Still get connected to her and know that you can be in a community where you're supported to move forward.
Yes, yes. Absolutely well said, Susan. And, you know, I love that you brought that up, because this is one of the things that I share in Rise Up Writers, and it may not come across clearly all the time, but I had this conversation with a guy I just ran into at a restaurant the other day when I was asking for his table as he was leaving. And he was a believer, and he was in business. And so he was asking about my writing, and I he asked me about, you know, basically was kind of suggesting that I take this other project I'm working on, which is a heart and soul care project, and how that could be maybe brought into wording that is could have a broader reach. Mm-hmm. And I agree that that's a very valuable thing that some people need to do, and that's the lane they're supposed to be in. For mm-hmm. me, it is a very direct understanding of God's and kind of just helping and drawing that out in our lives and coming into the presence of God and learning mm-hmm. some of those things that are heart transformational with a more specific direct message. However, mm-hmm. one of the things I really encourage through the Rise Up Writers, one of the reasons I feel strongly about these messages that are going out is in the spiritual encouragement, is because we are each made in the image of Christ. We are designed to reflect God's image. Mm-hmm. And God's image is so vast and yes. beyond measure and understanding. Mm-hmm. So for me, I cannot look at somebody who does, like, there's a gal that I follow on Instagram, and she shares the most gorgeous home photos, and she's has a very broad reach in magazines, mm-hmm. and she's a believer, and I believe that she is using the gift that God has given her to display some of God's glory. Yeah. And that is still a seed. We need people to water with very specific teaching messages, but God has equipped us in so many different ways, mm-hmm. and we have such an opportunity to see more of God when we value those steps by others that mm-hmm. may not be as direct or may have a different mission than we have. It's okay. You know, so my, the words that I try to share in Rise Up Writers is to encourage our own personal journeys, mm-hmm. because where our hearts are is what's going to be reflected in the way we treat customers, in the way we treat others with our words, in the way that we do anything, whether it's business or specific, when you think of like church ministry, and mm-hmm. it's all part of God's kingdom.
I so agree. And when we all just rise up, as you have your group term, you know, mm-hmm. as we all rise up in those areas where he's placed us, and we all are willing to do our own authentic living, our own intentional living in that, mm-hmm. not trying to be like our friends or not trying to be like those mm-hmm. we admire, but really standing in ownership of who we are and the gifts and the talents that he's given us in the place where he's placed us, then that creates this beautiful tapestry experience that we can have of all believers just rising up where they are.
Yes. I love that. I'll probably go back and listen to it and write it down. Yes. Yeah, because really that vision isn't just about writers. It really is about who we are as believers. And, you know, we hear the stories, you know, for some of us, we hear the stories more often when we're looking to understand our place and purpose and calling, mm-hmm. is to run your own race and to run well in your lane. Mm-hmm. And God's the one that's going to direct that, not me.
Right.
The Spirit is the one that directs that. So, you know, when we are drawing closer to God, we can understand those things more. But I love the way that you brought up the curiosity, the things that are being stirred up, and taking steps forward towards it and being okay with it may not be exact like the end goal.
Right.
But you're taking steps towards God in doing that, mm-hmm. even if you have to change direction later. It's okay.
It's totally okay. It's totally okay. And that's part of the journey and the experience that makes life rich, mm-hmm. is all the collection of all of those experiences along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, how boring would it be to find out your, and then that whole pressure we put on calling and purpose, like we mm-hmm. say that, like mm-hmm. these big definitive spaces, like there is a space I am called to, or there is a singular purpose and I need to find mm-hmm. it, and stand in it. But what if your purpose is just, as Jolene has put it, rise up right where you are?
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're in a new space, you rise up in that, and you just continue to make it a lifestyle of rising up. And that gets back to our pursuing the intentional life. That it's mm-hmm. just being intentional about the rise up.
Mm-hmm. And realizing that it's not always one straight. I really don't think it's ever really one straight line. You know, the whole journey in life, we want to think that things are going to happen simply, or that if we do one particular thing, that means that this is all going to be easy afterwards or whatever. And we've got to remember life just is complicated, but it is beautiful along the way. And we grow and we learn more about God when we willingly take the risk to go into different, you know, like different trajectories. Well, how boring is it to just, would you want to look across 1,000 miles and see nothing that is different and just go the straight distance all the way? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather travel through the countryside and see a little bit of this and then go over here?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I'd like to travel through the countryside. I just like for it to be easy, thanks. But I get it. I get it. That's not how it goes. But
well, let's be honest. We all want things to be easy. I just find myself so often getting caught in a trap of going, okay, whew, I'm done. Like, I did this hard work and I shouldn't ever have to feel hard ever again.
Yes.
And when I just kind of face reality a little bit more and go, yeah, okay, well, I'm in a season of whatever that's lighter, that's easier. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm not apprehensive about the future, but because I know that God is going to equip me and he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Trusting in him and his provision all along the way, even when it's hard. Yes. That's a journey and a growth all by itself.
It is.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell those who are listening a little bit about me.
Yes, please do.
Yeah.
And then we need to share how we met. So when you're done with that, let's get there.
Cool. Yes. Okay. I hope that you remember, because I'll be relying on you.
This is how I remember things. I take my finger and I write it in the sky. Is that I'm a visual person, so I can almost visually see the imaginary letters ahead. We'll see if it works this time.
Oh, beautiful. Good. Okay, I'll follow you in that. Okay. So I am Susan C., and you can find out more about me by going to SusanSeay.com. And I am a mentor for moms. Now, what does that mean? It means that I love to combine my training and personal development and coaching with my life of being a mom for the past 20 years to 7 amazing children, if I do say so myself.
And
that you love when moms are like, my kids are brilliant and they're awesome. Yeah. That is how I feel about my babies. I love them. And I have just had a heart for connecting with moms all along the journey in so many different ways. Sometimes the ways that I thought this is it, like when I would lead and I was a part of a MOPS group and I thought this is it. And then God shifts and moves me into new spaces and new connections with other moms. But there's always been this thread, even in those conversations, of living intentionally, having the freedom to follow and pursue the unique description of your family and how you want to create that life with your family, and not boxing ourselves in and saying it has to be a certain way. So in our family, I think if I introduce myself to a group of moms in a room and I picture this experience and I step up to the microphone and I say, hi, I'm Susan C. I am a homeschooling mom of 7, married for the past 22 years. My oldest child is 20 and my youngest child is 6. That immediately there are some women who just got a huge knot in their stomach. And they're thinking, oh my gosh, is this woman about to tell me about motherhood and life? Because they're going to assume that I'm going to say all of you need to have that exact same life. Mm-hmm. You should be a Christian, homeschool, stay-at-home mom. And if that's not their life, they immediately feel judged or apprehensive or afraid or unsafe or defensive or reactive to me. And when they get to know me, they recognize that's not my heart at all. You see, that's the life my husband and I chose, and we are happy with it and we love it. Mm-hmm. But I also know that that's not how everybody's family should be. Everybody should not homeschool. Everybody should not have seven children, nor do they even want it. And a whole lot of women said, and you're exactly right about that. So it's just that I know that we are very purposeful in our family, and we have created exactly what we felt like was right for us. And that's what I want for other moms, is to have the freedom to do exactly what they feel like is right for them. So if they work full time and they feel like that's the right step and the place that they are to rise up, I want to support them in that. If it's to go out and create something new, a new product, a new idea, a new blog or website or business, I want to support them and champion them and cheer them on in that. Because to me, when we get together as women, we're already powerful. And when we unite to say, I support you and living your life with true intention, and I support you and encourage you to build a family and live true to the intention and the purpose and the call you feel, we're all richer for it. We're all better for it when we connect in that. And that's what I like to do as a mentor for moms, is to step in the place to encourage and support women as they desire to keep their family first in a priority, and they desire to live true to the calling and the places where they feel like they are to rise up in their lives. And I provide them with tools. I provide them with training. I provide them with encouragement. I provide them with support to do just that. Sometimes they just need accountability. Like, they've said they're going to do some things, and I get to step in and say, let me be the one to support you and give you some accountability around that, so that you don't slip back on your own excuses, that you don't end up being surrounded by people who let you off the hook and say, oh, it's okay, I know stuff happens. You want someone there who will say, yes, that happened, and you can still keep moving forward. So maybe they need that. Other moms really need some practical tools on how to deal with life. Now, for me, my husband and I are entrepreneurial. We've always been involved in business. It's just part of who we are. It's in our blood. We can't help it. And I have gone to so many conferences and trainings, and I have seen so many people teach tools and teach ideas and concepts for business, that as I'm listening to them, I'm thinking that so applies to the home. When they're talking about how to build a team, how to deal with conflict, how to have conflict resolution, how to have good conversations that get to the heart of the matter, how to eliminate chaos and create efficiency. And they're all talking about it from a business perspective. I'm listening to it, and I'm reading their books, and I'm listening to their podcasts and radio interviews. And all of it for me is being filtered through the mindset and the lens of a mom and the home. And I'm like, that completely applies to everything that we're doing in our home. But I don't see anybody taking those business tools and saying, not only do they apply to the business world, but they apply at home and they work. So I say, hey, moms, let's allow the corporations that have the millions and billions of dollars to spend on research and consultants, let them go out and do the research and find the tools that work. Now, let's not only apply them to the places we're called to be as far as our gifts and talents, whether that's business or work or volunteering or anything that we do outside the home, but let's also apply them inside the home. And let's make our homes richer and stronger and more purposeful because of it.
That is awesome. Yes. I was thinking when you said about the business principles in the home, and that's really at the heart of that same conversation that I had with this guy at the restaurant, was the reason things work is because they're based in godly principles. I mean, we sometimes don't think that the Bible has biblical principles in it, but it absolutely does. I mean, business principles in it.
Yeah.
But it absolutely does. And so when we are able to, we have different ways that we understand God, and we have different ways that we can share God, like we were talking about, we can share in a business world, in our home, really at the bottom of it, if you you know, deciphered it all the way down to the nugget of it. It's a biblical truth mm-hmm. that's implemented in a way that people understand in their environment, and it works because it's God's truth.
Absolutely. And right now in the business world, the women entrepreneurs make up over 50% of the new businesses that are being launched.
Wow.
I mean, women are stepping out and stepping into their gifts like never before. And it's happening because I believe that we've already been through the period where we had the season where women predominantly were at home. And then we've been through the season post a lot of war and turmoil in our country where women recognized that they were stepping into the workforce. It was no longer going to be just the man is the breadwinner, but it was the man and the woman. And they always have had this call, though, for women of how do I do the business or stepping out into the workforce and still do home? Mm-hmm. But now we're in this internet era where it opens up so many opportunities for women to keep the family as a priority and also create income, whether it be just enough dollars just to provide for the special things in the family, all the way up to I'm a full on half or more, maybe the full contributor for our family. And I get to create unique work environment around that. I don't have to go to a building every day and work 9 to 5. There's all these other variables that come into play there mm-hmm. where it can look a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
But yet, even with that, family is still number one. It is the one way that I have seen that women won't necessarily live fully into, they won't fully do the rise up that we've talked about. They won't live mm-hmm. fully into their gifts is if they feel like the family is suffering before because of it, they'll start to slow down and they'll pull back. Mm-hmm. And I want to support them to say, mm-hmm. here's how you can love and serve your family and still live into your gifts, still live into the call that you feel deep within your soul.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a needed message. And I think it's because it's really a struggle for a lot of women, and particularly the way that the economy is in, I think this today, and I'm not an economist, but just kind of what I perceive is a lot of people are finding themselves back into a situation where they've been in the last maybe couple of decades, more people were coming home, but then the generation that's going into the workforce now is finding that, you know, the housing market is too expensive for a single income, and they're really wrestling with how do we find this balance, because we do have these values but we're trying to find balance in it. And so mm-hmm. I love that you help women in that area, and I will just add that with the wisdom that Susan shares is so encouraging and it's challenging at the same time. I think we've talked about this before, and the way that Susan ministers to other people is she really is able to connect with the heart of it and help sometimes, like when you've talked to me and when I've heard you talk to other people, when we don't even know what's really going on in our heart, we're wrestling through different things. You can see things and simplify it pretty quickly and say, well, what about this? And draw out things that help bring clarity to the situation. And then that in turn inspires, you know, little changes here and there that get us towards the goals that we have.
Oh, I love that, because I think clarity is when we're unclear, we get stuck and we mm-hmm. stay put. Mm-hmm. And the one other thing that I wanted to just say to those who are listening, and just as part of our conversation, you and I, is that I have felt parts of this calling in my life. I've seen threads of it for years, but I never felt like it was the time to step out. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, this is totally my opinion. Okay. But I have the microphone, so here we go. I didn't want to step out and say and mentor other moms in the way that I do now until I felt like I had earned some stripes and gotten some years under my belt. Mm-hmm. I felt like anything before that was just going to be my opinions and thoughts, and you know, that's the thought of the day. And if you saw me the next day, I'd have a new thought. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't anything, any real grit to it. It was just, well, you know, this is what I think. And I just don't find that I found that could be confusing and actually potentially hurt some people and send them in the wrong direction. So now that I have two adult children, let me just pause on that. Oh my gosh, I have two adult children. This is, oh my gosh. Anyway, every time I say it, I have to go, what? Anyway.
I have three. It's like, what?
What is going on? How could that be possible? And
by the
so
way,
young, Jolene.
Let me just throw this out there. I got carded the other day for a bottle of wine at Target.
Come on.
Like, yes, you could card
Come
me.
On.
It's all right.
Did you hug that cashier? You're like, yes.
He goes, looks at me and he actually says, yes, I really don't believe you're old enough. And I said, okay then.
And God bless your heart. You know what? I appreciate you. So,
yay, thank you very much. You made my day.
Yes, but now that I have adult children and I have had time to mature myself, I love to be able to step out now because my message and any information I share has so much more grace in it than it did when I was a younger mom and felt like I knew it all. And felt like I had figured this thing out, man. If people would just listen to me, I could help you get this straight. And now I've lived long enough and had enough children and been through enough drama and trauma myself to go, oh, no. This is all a grace journey and we're all trying to figure it out. And I want to support you and I ask for you to continue to support me because we're in this journey together.
Yes, and that is a great way to introduce how you do that for moms with your calls and the things that you offer. Would you share about some of those?
Oh, yeah. So every month I get moms on the call and it's a free mom's night out online. Now, what does that mean? Well, I for years loved to attend mom's night out gatherings locally. But there were always those nights where there was some challenge. I mean, it was a challenge to get to those. Maybe my hubby wasn't getting home in time to be with the kids. So that meant I was either going to run late or miss it. Or one of the kids was sick. And so to go was a real issue of trying to make sure they're okay and that I can get cleaned up enough to get out the house. And it was just like way too much work. Or, okay, and here's the real honest one. There were times where I wanted to be with people, but I didn't want to shower and get dressed. Like, I just was like, oh my gosh, that just feels like too much. It's been a long day. I still got to shower, get dressed, and drive somewhere. Ugh. So I said, I'm going to design a mom's night out where you don't have to do any of that. If the kids are sick, they can be right there with you. If you need to be nursing a baby, the baby can be right there in your lap. You just get on the phone. And I'll meet you there, and moms from all over the country will meet you there. And I share a theme or a topic for that night. I'll give a short teaching, and then I open up the call, and we all just talk about it. We all jump in and share our thoughts and our ahas. And if a mom has a challenge or an issue, she'll bring it up, and we work through it together. And it's just a community gathering. Free call. You're welcome to join in. If you want information in that, make sure you go to my website, SusanCSEAY.com, and leave your name and email address because I send out the details on the call-in number and what time and what dates to those who have left their contact information with me. And I would love to have you join us.
Yes. Yes. I think I've listened to a couple of them on replay before, but I don't think I've actually joined you online. So I need to put that on the calendar. I think it's Thursday. Is it usually a Thursday night?
No, it's usually a Tuesday night, fourth Tuesday of the month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I can make that work. I was thinking it was Thursday, which is when I have sign language class, but I can make it work on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I'd love to have you. That would be fun.
I also know that you happen to have a very helpful tool that helps people identify values in the family. And we talked about that, I think, a little bit on the Google Hangout, but will you tell me just a little bit more about that again?
Oh, for sure. So I have created a guide for families to do something that businesses do all the time. Every successful business or corporation that's out there has sat down and taken the time to figure out the core values of their organization. Yet the fundamental organization of our entire civilization, which is the family, very few of us sit down and take the time to figure out What are the core values that we want to live true to within our family and be intentional about doing it? So I created a guide for families to do just that. Mm. It takes you through a process of identifying your core values, creating a core value statement, and then giving you accountability sheets for an entire year for you to take note of how you're doing and living true to your core values, where you can get better, helping you to identify, not only identify your core values, but define them. Like I could say, like for our family, one of our core values is respect, but then we get to define what respect is and then how it will look in our family. This looks like respect to me. This looks like how I respect you. And we create that language in our home so that the kids are clear on what our core values are. So I created that tool that comes along with the training that's available on my site, along with some conversation cards that I've created for families. And it's helping you to have conversations with your kids that get beyond, how was your day? How are your friends? What's going on? And you get these one word short answers, mm-hmm. like I'm fine, mm-hmm. it's good, school's good, mm-hmm. everything's okay. And you're not getting to the heart of the matter. I created conversation cards to help you get to the heart of the conversation. And it comes in a set with another set of cards that helps you to have really practical ways that you could live more intentionally. So if you hear this intention and you're like, yeah, I want to do that, but I don't know, I got nothing. I got no ideas. Just pick up a card and do exactly what it says. It's really simple, really practical, very affordable. And you can read more about all of that on my site.
Yes. And I think I really need that. You know, and even just in a husband-wife relationship, let alone with each of your children, we can say the same words and have completely different meanings for so many different reasons. And so just to actually talk through it and say, this is what it means to, you know, understanding what the basic need of basic definition is, but this is what it looks like and how it actually plays out for our family that we agree to. And this is how we're going to understand what it means to show respect in our family.
Yeah.
That's clarity that, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. I mean, that can help alleviate so many potential points of frustration and tugs of war and that kind of thing. When you can go back to something that's really clear and say, this is what we mean by this. This is something that I am, our family is working on right now and trying to improve because it has been a source of tension. I mean, this huge circle over here when I say this word and you mean this huge circle over here and there's a little bit of overlap.
Mm-hmm. Usually very little.
Yeah. So let's figure out what the overlap is. Maybe we both need to expand in our circles a little bit more.
Yeah, and I love that you called it simplifying because that's exactly what I tell parents when I'm in the room with them is that that tool simplifies your life as a parent, because all you're focused in is on three core values. I ask families to choose three core values and focus in on those for at least 12 months. And then your conversations, when you're correcting a child, they go back to the core values. That there was some core values violation that you have as a family. That's why you're correcting them. If you want to teach your children and equip them, then you point to the core values. You're leading them according to the core values, not a whole list of family rules that gets hard to keep up with and don't always apply to the situation. But when it's a core value for you, and you'll know that, and I give you tools to discover that, then you are constantly pointing back to those three core values in everything. And that is preparing your children, not just to be a part of the family, but for their life.
Yeah. Yes. And all I'm thinking as I'm listening to you is I've got to get this. We've got to implement this because really we've been in this process in just the last couple of weeks. And it's been challenging to get to the same, to an agreeable understanding. And for me, I've wrestled with it feeling like, okay, well, if we agree to this, then maybe that doesn't consider whatever on my side, but it ends up really being a valuable contribution to the family when you can wrestle through some of those things that you don't agree on and come to an agreement that works.
Mm-hmm. I so agree. I agree. But are we also going to spend some time talking about how we met? Are you ready to go back?
Look at that. You brought it up. I was just about to, and you got there. Good job. Did you write it in the air like I did?
No, but I was really curious about that writing it in the air thing. So I was like, let's get back to that. That's interesting.
Well, I'll just tell you really briefly. This started when I was in grade school, or maybe it was high school, but probably grade school even, when I would lay in bed. My bed was next to a wall, and I would all of a sudden, of course, your brain is starting to relax, and I'd remember something I had to remember for school the next day. But I was too tired to get my butt out of bed and write it down on a piece of paper where I would see it in the morning. So I would just lay in bed and write on the wall with my finger. And lo and behold, the majority of the time when I was making my bed in the morning or getting ready, I'd look at the wall and go, oh, yeah. I don't know. It worked for me.
That's you hear the hesitation over here?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I could see me waving my finger. Like, I could write a whole book in the air and it would be gone. Like, the next morning, I'm like, I have no idea what I wrote. I have no clue. That's pretty interesting.
I'm thinking it's because I have this visual tendency. But anyway, so one thing that works for me doesn't work for everybody. It's okay. It's all good. You do what works for you.
Yeah, mine is a physical pen and a piece of paper, because that's what it takes. Okay, go ahead. Tell the story.
Well, actually, I was wondering if you wanted to share, because the truth is I remember about when we met, but I don't remember how you found me.
Okay, so was this the library you had out of your home? Okay,
when it was good. In my garage.
Yes. Okay, great. And here's the long and short. I don't truly remember, but I believe it was just simply an email. So Jolene and I, we're both homeschool moms together, and I was looking for a way to maximize our money always. I mean, family of nine, like, we're always trying to figure out how to maximize a dollar.
Well, let's say at that time you were maybe six or seven.
Well, that's true. No, that's true. Yes.
You kept having
There were baby. More to come. Yes. That's how I judge my entire life. Like, I was either pregnant or nursing, and then I try to figure out who, and then I can kind of place timeline. So I was looking at how could I maximize our resources, and I knew there had to be a better way. I figured if there are so many different homeschooling moms in our community and in our area, and we're each out there buying books and curriculum, that surely there's some way that someone has what I'm looking for, and I really would just like to check it out. I don't feel like I need to own it in order to get the benefit with our family. And so someone happened to post in an email that there was a homeschool lending library that was opening up, and it was in North Austin, and I live, you know, south. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, someone gets it. Like, yes, we could just have a place where we pool resources. And I jumped in our Suburban, loaded the kids up, and off we went. And I went to the location that was in that email, and there was this homeschool library with this beautiful homeschool mom who had converted her garage into a library where you could come in, and there were all of these different tools that I had been curious about or that I had wanted but just couldn't afford to buy a whole library or suite of audios or books. And there they were on the shelf, just ready to be checked out. And I became a member, like, right away. I was like, sign me up, I'm all in. And that was our, I guess, bi-weekly or so. I know we came pretty regularly.
Yeah, the renewing was every 3 weeks, so it might have been every three.
Yeah, we would come, and, you know, we were driving 35, 40 minutes up to see you, and loved visiting with you, as well as just having the opportunity to just sit around so many incredible resources that we in the homeschool community know exist, but most people who either have their kids in public school or private school wouldn't even be aware of some of these tools. And you had them all lined up on the shelf, just ready to be checked out by members. And that's how we just started to bridge our friendship.
Yes, it was just a crazy, awesome way to meet somebody from 35, 40 minutes away on a regular basis. And interestingly enough, there's this guy who would come, his wife would look at the inventory that we had, and she would tell him what to pick up. And now they're starting to attend our church after all these years.
Look at that.
It's so wild. I love connections. I love the way God just weaves little stories together. But that library, it eventually grew, and then we had to close it down, and then we went and fostered. And now here we are, and we started connecting again after, I mean, we saw each other, I think, like at family camp and periodically here and there. But, you know, like you said earlier, we've never been someone who's always on the phone, although we do Vox now. Voxer is amazing.
Yes, it is.
I got Susan totally hooked on Voxer. It's great. So we started to connect after I came back from the ranch, and I was going through so much just emotional, just utter exhaustion physically and emotional stress and turmoil for a number of different reasons. And we must have met for lunch a couple of times. I know I came down south to where you were, and we went for a walk, and we just, in those first few sessions, I think you really sat and listened as I poured my heart out and I was wrestling through so much. And over time, as I healed more and more, our conversations just grew more and more rich. Mm-hmm. And we knew, I think, right off the bat, that making that intentional effort was once every 3 months, I think we were doing, to head towards one or the other's direction so that we could meet in person and and talk over dinner or coffee or whatever.
Yeah. And I think the important part about that is there were several pieces of what you just said. We found a common connection between us that we could tell was strong. And so those of you who are listening, I want to encourage you that if there's someone that you've noticed and you say, I really want to go deeper with that person, make the effort and reach out to them, because they just might be feeling the same way. They might be also looking for someone to have a true heart-to-heart connection with. I mean, so many of us can get stuck in shallow relationships and just superficial connections. And to have a real deep connection is a special thing. So definitely be looking for that. And then as Jalene just said, we would make the intentional effort. We would put it on the calendar, block and tackle it, make all the arrangements we needed to make as far as kids or family. And we would make it happen, even if that meant driving 35, 40 minutes away or more, we were willing to do it.
Yes. And I would encourage also, when you think that other people, you know, we want someone to invite us sometimes, and you're talking about making that intentional effort to reach out to somebody else that you may have felt a particular connection with, or maybe like you talked about before, the curiosity that gets stirred, and it may or may not be a long-term, lifelong connection that you have with that person, but you don't know until you give it intentional effort. And that means that if you reach out and they cannot meet or they have to back out, that doesn't define what the rest will be. In order to know, you really have to press in and try a few different times and understand what might be holding them back. Maybe there's like you need to offer a different day or a meeting place, or you need to go to them or something that will work with them, rather than, I think sometimes we can just assume, oh, well, it didn't work out, and we're quick to just stop, and we're quick to to give up on something. And so when we intentionally try to understand a little bit more and pursue it a little bit, that gives us an opportunity to find out, is this something that will happen or not?
Yes, and we had no clue at the time that our gatherings would turn into this. It was simply, we just wanted to get together. And we would get together and share things, and you would share some golden nugget of wisdom. And I would be like, oh my gosh, we should have recorded that. I would love to like go back and play that again, or be able to write that down. And neither one of us could ever remember exactly what we just said. We were just like, it was just a gem of wisdom that just dropped right there between us. And so we got to savor that moment. And out of that, we decided it would be great to record our conversations, because there's really some good wisdom, truth happening between us.
Yes. And I'm so thankful. And that's just one of the blessings when you meet somebody that you can connect with. And it's not easy to, not everybody's going to have that relationship with you. But for anyone who's looking for that kind of friendship, I encourage you to pray about it. And if you've been praying about it, don't give up. And it may not look like what you're thinking it might look like either, because what we have is, you know, definitely a unique connection, but I have different types of connections with other friends who are very, very valuable to me. And they all look very different. but they're all valuable. And in each one of those, it's that intentional pursuit to care about the other person and to pursue the relationship that makes the difference, I think.
Yes, exactly. It's not an all in one relationship. Like, I want that person to be my friend and they're funny and we have the, right. Like, everything must come from this one friendship.
Right.
But it's something that you connect with together, mm-hmm. and you just want to go deeper in that connection.
Mm-hmm. And then there's freedom, you know, like we both have friends that we don't have all the same circles anymore. I'm not homeschooling anymore, but mm-hmm. we do have a lot of similarities in our season of life. But yet, you go off and do things with other friends. I go off and do things with other friends. And that's part of having a mature adult relationship. I bring that up just sometimes because I've seen women who have been too afraid to reach out in friendship or feeling like maybe they're not worth having a friendship with somebody because it's not exclusive enough. And I just really want to encourage that God has given each one of us such unique giftings and places and spaces in our lives that he will bring the connections that are right for us, and we can trust him with those.
Oh my word. And did you say a mouthful when you said mature relationships amongst women? Amen. Yes. Like, I celebrate your successes. Mm-hmm. I celebrate when I see you connecting with other women who encourage you to move forward and continue to rise up where God is calling you. I think that's amazing. I don't ever look at your Facebook posts and go, oh my gosh, like, she so did not invite me to that.
Yeah.
It doesn't even cross my mind. So I love that, Jim. That was perfect. Yes.
Good deal. Well, on that note, I want to thank everybody for joining us and just kind of sitting at the table with us as we discuss. And I would love to hear from you. What, if there was anything specific that spoke to your heart today, or I do sometimes say things that may not be understandable to some people, so that is totally fine. You can let me know, hey, I really didn't get it when you said this. Email me, let me know. If I can respond, I will. But thank you for just being a part of sitting here with us, even though we don't get a chance to interact with you right now here through an audio session. If you were in our vicinity and we had the chance to meet with you, I'm sure we would love to. Of course, it's just a blessing to be here with Susan over the audio, and it's a blessing to have the audio work. Mm-hmm. And I got to be blessed today too, just a side note, by meeting Susan's husband over the audio today, and that was hilarious. So we had to find ourselves an opportunity to stop laughing before we could
hit record.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we encourage you in your friendships and in your intentional pursuit of where God has you in your lane for your life. And if you're a mom who needs encouragement, I highly recommend checking out Susan's site. So again, you can find Susan at SusanC.com and Jolene Underwood at JOLENE Underwood.com. And we'd love to meet you there.
Bye for now.